Welcome to Quantum of Solace with me, David Robertson.
And I'm Al Smith from the Solace Centre for Public Christianity.
It's been an awful week in some ways because what's gone on in Brussels, yet another Islamic terrorist attack on a European city. We're not going to discuss that just now. We're going to leave that for next week and for a more calmer and rational analysis. But we've got plenty for you this week.
Tiptoe through our shiny city with our diamond slippers on. Do our gay ballet on ice. Bluebirds on our shoulders. We're half awake in a fake empire. We're half awake in a fake empire.
President of Ghana was visiting Scotland and he got a frosty reception from some of our politicians when he was in the parliament. Nicola Sturgeon was being pressurised on all sides to raise the issue of homosexual rights within Ghana. Some MSPs left the room, others sat on their hands. Ruth Davidson refused to applaud him. Patrick Harvey was
concerned about his safe space.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the mere fact that the president of Ghana was in the building was threatening and intimidating.
Yes, meant it was unsafe for LGBT plus people. I thought especially Ruth Davidson, the Tory leader, was ridiculous. She pointedly refused to clap him or acknowledge him. I thought it was just hypocrisy. She's quite happy with the Chinese coming. Now, the Chinese have strong anti-homosexual legislation as well. Ghana is a democracy. China is not. And by the way, I think he was put up in the public gallery. He wasn't treated with any particular honour, which was self-disgraceful. And then Kaleidoscot, the online Scottish gay news site, they published a fascinating article in which LGBT activists in Ghana were furious at the showboating of Patrick Harvey and Ruth Davidson.
Why? Well, I mean, what's the impact that it's had?
Because
in Ghana?
What they said was that the president of Ghana has actually been more open and tolerant, and this sets it back because it is racist. It appears certainly very patronizing.
I mean, that will sound strange to a lot of people. Why'd you say racist?
It's not racist in the sense of white superiority. It's racist in the sense of liberal cultural superiority.
No, it's a soft racism.
Yeah, it's not a racism based on skin color per se. It's a racism based on culture. When I saw that, I wrote a response. Now, that response got picked up. It's been in the newspapers and so on.
And the Scottish Conservatives press officers put out a wonderful statement about it.
If this is going to be the level of political discourse in the Scottish election, it's going to be a nightmare, where they said, basically, I was bonkers and I should know better. So
it's a ludicrous suggestion from someone who should know better. Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, that's the kind of thing that that just encourages you.
you just wear that as a badge of honour. Right, that's it. So, but I tell you what was interesting. My blog normally gets, I mean, it's great that gets a 1,000 reads per day or whatever. Today, there was 10,000.
And how many were from Ghana?
Half of them. 5,000 really? From Ghana. And I do say this to our Ghanaian brothers and sisters. Some of you obviously feel deeply hurt by the disrespect shown to your president. And I do apologize for that. I'm embarrassed by it. As a Scotsman, I'm embarrassed by it. I thought our politicians, not all of them, I wouldn't tar them all, but those who behaved in such a disrespectful manner, I am really embarrassed. And by the way, there's lots of things I discovered about Ghana in just reading about it. Ghana has the 9th largest economy in Africa. It's growing phenomenally. It's one of the more stable countries. It's 75% Christian. Its Presbyterian church is more than 3 times the size of the Church of Scotland. The president himself used to belong to it and now belongs to the Assemblies of God.
And there's a balance to be struck here, isn't there? I mean, it's not racist to be critical of the kind of genuine homophobia that results in mobs of vigilantes roaming around beating up people. You know, we were critical of Putin of that a couple of years ago on that same issue. But what we're talking about is that kind of sneering superiority that many of our politicians can show towards other countries that haven't yet bought into the whole gay lobby agenda, haven't we?
Yeah, we're so patronising.
We're progressive and they're regressive and backward.
I'm just in correspondence with someone just now who says, well, I have heard Ghanaian Christians say that all homosexuals are animals who should be executed. You've put yourself on their side. Basically, what they do, and this is classic, is two extremes. First of all, most Ghanaian Christians don't think that, and the president doesn't think that. And so to extrapolate that to everyone in the country is ridiculous. Well, I was going to say it's a bit like making Donald Trump an example of America, but maybe that's closer to the bone. But it's a bit like taking the most extremist person in Britain and then saying that's typical of Britain. And secondly, there are other positions. You don't take the extremes and say you've got to choose one extreme or another.
I don't want to see someone executed for a homosexual act. I mean, if, when you understand the standard that Jesus set for sexual sin, there's probably very few people on the planet that could even meet it. But what I want is for them to come to know Jesus and to realize they're standing before him now, and that one day we're all going to stand in front of him and be judged. And that's why we need him as our savior. But what I don't agree with as well is the way that the gay lobby is kind of using the concept of gay rights to be ultra rights, to be supreme rights that then trample over freedom of conscience, freedom of religion.
And I do think, by the way, the gay rights agenda is an extremist position.
Yeah.
And I honestly want to say this to any Ghanaians, listen, we are deeply sorry for any hurt or offence caused to your president. Not all of us think like that. And we do pray for you and we do admire you as a country. I'm sure there are things that we wouldn't agree with, including on maybe LGBT rights, but we don't have the right to come and tell you what you should be doing. Your president came and didn't tell us what we should be doing, because there are many things in our culture that are as wrong, if not more profoundly wrong,
and that we're
than
trying
in yours.
And we're trying to export to them, like abortion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's funny, when the word human rights is used, what we mean is what we think are human rights. And that's part of that white, liberal, Western cultural imperialism, which, to be honest, I totally despise. So with this one, we're with you, and we do ask for your forgiveness.
And please send us
some
missionaries
for your prayers
in the years to come.
Absolutely. Any Ghanaians are very welcome here.
Speaking of the LGBT lobby, the SNP had their annual spring conference in the SEC in Glasgow recently. David, they've got to use the SEC as a venue these days because it's the only one that's big enough for all the people that want to go.
Full disclosure, I'm inclined to be an SNP supporter.
Ditto.
So I normally vote SNP and so on, but I'm becoming more and more frustrated with what's going on. And in particular, Ty. You know what
Ty is? Ty's Time for Inclusive Education. It's an LGBT lobby group that's campaigning to see LGBT education put on a statutory basis within Scottish education.
What is wrong with this? Now, we need to be really careful here how this works. And people need to understand what is happening. Are you for Ty? Time for Inclusive Education. Just answer me that question, yes or no?
Oh, of course. Everybody's for inclusive.
No, without the sarcasm. Let's. Are you for Ty?
No.
Neither you nor I are for it, because we know that it's not about inclusive education.
It's about being exclusive. It's about excluding the Christian view of sex and sexuality.
The thing about Ty is this. The point of Ty is that it will be compulsory for every school to teach, every teacher to be taught, and every pupil to be indoctrinated. And I use that word deliberately, to be indoctrinated in the LGBTQA plus agenda.
And as part of that agenda, there's a Stonewall School report that's got some statistics in it that are just being repeatedly drilled into the minds of our politicians. One of the quotes that always stands out is that more than a quarter of all LGBT young people have attempted suicide due to bullying in schools.
Well, is it true because it's due to bullying? There's a whole... I mean, to me, this issue is really, really, really complex, and it's being simplified in this way, and our politicians are either too stupid or too cowardly to challenge the narrative.
Yeah,
the zeitgeist that's being put. So somebody stands up and says, I want to stop LGBTI people being depressed or committing suicide. So therefore, we need to stop bullying. So therefore, we're going to have inclusive education. So therefore, if you're opposed to what we're doing, you're for bullying. You're a bully. You're responsible for the suicides, the depression of LGBT plus people.
Now, listeners, do you understand what's going on there?
Yeah, it's bullying.
It's bullying,
It's bullying. It is emotional bullying. It is irrational bullying. It is mob rule. It is saying the only way to deal with this is to enforce it.
It's a dangerously simplistic argument, but it's an argument that was made at the SNP conference.
A teenager stood up and got a standing ovation. Well, of course he did, or she did, because this teenager describes himself or herself as, guess what?
Gender fluid. I mean, there's a word that previous generations didn't have in their vocabulary.
This gender fluid teenager, in other words, one day he feels like a male, another day she feels like a female. said that her school has been very positive about her and basically allows her to choose which toilet to go to. So you just state that you're gender fluid. We're not even now we've even moved beyond the language of transgender. Of course, the SNP, the conference, gave a standing ovation. That's what's going to happen. Do you know this? And maybe this is a bit strong, but I'll run with it anyway, and you can dissociate yourself from it. I was thinking a little bit about mass political rallies and youth organizations, because it was the youth organization of the SNP who put forward the Thai support thing and kind of unanimous support and all the bullying that goes with that. I'm thinking it's not the first time in history that that's happened or will happen. It is very, very frightening, the kind of emotive bullying and the irrationality that is going along in our political system right now. You know, we see it in America with Donald Trump. And to be honest, I think we see it here with some aspects of British politics. And I'm sorry, but the SNP, somebody needs to stand up and say, wait a minute, what does this involve? Somebody needs to have the guts to do it. It's leaders were supposed to serve the country, but now they won't pay no mind. 'Cause the people grew fat and got lazy, and now their vote is a meaningless joke.
We've been talking about teenage suicide, and if we look at the problem from a wider perspective, you have to question the underlying assumption behind that simplistic argument that depression in LGBT teens is caused by bullying.
There's an interesting story that's a warning that's come from the World Health Organization.
Yeah, it's the staggering rise in the number of children who are being prescribed with antidepressants. Did you know that between 2005 and 2012 in the UK, there was a 54% increase in the number of young people prescribed them? In Denmark, it was 60%. In Germany, it was 49%. What this story reveals is depression's not just affecting gay or transgender teens. This is happening to all teens, and it's happening across the whole Western world. Our politicians need to be looking at this on a much wider scale, and it underlines the importance of why Christians are to pray for our politicians. We should be praying that they would be granted wisdom and that they would not be taken in by the manipulative and simplistic arguments of the LGBT lobby.
There was another report that came out which the number of children receiving treatment because they believe they were born the wrong gender has risen by, guess what, 1,000%. In 5 years. The Gender Identity Development Service, which, believe it or not, is actually now part of the NHS, says this: it seems likely that increased media coverage and the rise in the use of social media among young people has raised awareness and reduced stigma.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just about raising awareness or reducing stigma, though. It's also planting the seed in many more people's minds. And you know, the Bible teaches that we're all sinful people in a fallen world. The human heart is deceitful above all things. You know, who can understand it? I mean, that's one of the problems with having these kind of transgender days where you're teaching, you know, young primary kids about the issue, or you're encouraging them to wear the school uniform of the opposite sex. The human heart will run with it.
I want to go back to the NHS and what was said there, Grids. Today, young people seem to be more interested in exploring gender. There's no predetermined diagnosis or fixed outcomes, and it's certainly not a question of being transgender or not. It's about young people having the freedom to decide who they are themselves. Not all of the children seen by the clinic will fulfill the criteria for a diagnosis of gender dysphoria, and not all of these will make a decision to transition.
And the overwhelming majority won't transition because they end up coming to terms with their gender, which is why it's folly to encourage surgery or to issue hormone blockers to delay puberty.
I mean, even beyond that, just think of the mass confusion that has been sown in children's minds. The mass confusion. Combine this with Thai and you have got state-sponsored indoctrination combined with mass confusion.
There's a verse in Job, I'm going to read it to you. It says, he makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. He takes away understanding from the chiefs of the people of the earth, the politicians, and makes them wander in a trackless waste. They grope in the dark without light and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. That's what we're seeing in Scotland today, in Britain today. A society is falling into chaos and confusion.
Let me tell you what's happening here. I have to leave this anonymous. I was contacted by a teacher in a school who said, what do I do? We have got a 15-year-old who's asking to change their sex. You know, the whole school is up in panic about it because we have to do it. Otherwise, we're going to be accused of being phobic, discriminatory, phobic, transphobic, or whatever. There are people, I'm certain that there are people, apparently one in 125,000 people have a genuine gender dysphoria. It's an illness, mm-hmm. right? And that needs treatment and help. I agree with that. But I'm not going to take all this moral and emotional transgender bullying from people which stands up and says, well, unless you support transgender, you're encouraging people to commit suicide. I'm going to turn that completely the other way around and say simply to this. When you go and encourage kids to transgender, some people reckon up to 80% of transgender teenagers attempt suicide. When you start telling kids you can change, maybe, just maybe, encouraging people to think that they can transgender is something that will encourage that suicide. Anyway, we shall see you next week. God bless. Bye.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.